This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, alhamdulillah, hamdan kathiran, tayyiban, mubarakan fi wa usalli wa usallim ala Sayyidina Muhammad, al-mab'uthi rahmatan lil'alamin wa ala alihi al-athari wa ashabihi al-abrar wa man ihtada bihadihim wa tasanna bi sunnatihim. Hatta taquma as-sa'ah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back to our explanation of Al-Waraqat. Someone told me, this is really exhaustive. This explanation is exhaustive. It's exhaustive for the person who may not be built for this. Just to be honest with you, a sign that something is not for me is that I find myself getting tired easily. I find myself getting distracted easily. I don't pay attention to it. So if someone has that attitude about acquiring this knowledge, which is necessary for content providers, necessary for certainly imams, necessary for Islamic studies teachers, maybe it's not for you. And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. We all have a role to play. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. The Arabs have a great statement that if a man finds a woman attractive, he doesn't care how much the mahar is. And if a woman, she finds a man attractive, she doesn't care how low the mahar is. Because when we love something, when we like something, we sacrifice for it. So now we reach the section on at-ta'arud wa tawaqquf wa tarjih. And last time we talked about the two am texts, if we can corroborate them, which is fard, wajib, on the mujtahid. Wal jam'u wajibun idha ma amkana. I mentioned that verse last time from Maraqi Sa'ud. It's an obligation. But what happens when it's not possible? What happens when corroboration is not possible? It's going to introduce you to a subject called at-tawaqquf. Imagine, from the word wuquf means to stop, right? Waqaftu ala al-amr, I stopped at this affair. Imagine, these are great scholars. These are the cream of the crop. And they have a section that we learn called Bab al-Tawaqquf, when not to say anything, when not to do anything, when not to engage. I think the world needs Bab al-Tawaqquf now. Everybody has something to say. So he says, Rahimahullah, وَإِن لَمْ يُمْكَنِ الْجَمْعُ بَيْنَهُمَا يُتَوَقَّفْ فِيهِمَا إِن لَمْ يُعْلَمْ التَّارِيخ. This is very important. He says, so, وَإِن لَمْ يُمْكَنِ الْجَمْعِ بَيْنَهُمَا. If it's not possible to make two am text cooperate, يُتَوَقَّفْ فِيهِمَا. تَوَقَّفْ. Don't say anything. There's no action related to the two texts in that context. إِلَّمْ يُعْلَمِ التَّارِيخ. As long as, what he means by tariq is, we don't know which verse came first, which verse came after, which hadith came first, which hadith came after, which verse came first, which hadith came after. Meaning an-nasakh. An-nasakh that we already learned about. Because if that's the case, if we know that, okay, here's these two texts that seem to kind of oppose one another, and this one came after that one, like alcohol, for example, then we can say this is nasakh. So he says, إِلَّمْ يُعْلَمِ التَّارِيخُ. So يُتَوَقَّفْ إِلَّمْ يُعْلَمِ التَّارِيخُ. So Bab al-Tawaqquf has conditions. We're not going to learn about Tawaqquf in this text here. The point is, if it's impossible to come to any type of conclusion that will allow these two texts to work together, al-jama, and we don't know which one came first, then you have a tawakkuf. So it's like he's telling you that system that I talked to you about earlier. There's a great example of this principle in the Quran, and the reason I'm using it is because we actually have the application of this principle by one of the great companions, Sayyidina Uthman ibn Affan, radiallahu anhuma. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِلَّا عَلَىٰ أَزْوَاجِهِمُ أَوْ مَا مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُهُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, everything is forbidden for physical relationships, sex, except your wives or slaves. Slave, in this context, slave women. But then Allah says in the Quran, in Surah Nisa, وَأَن تَجْمَعُوا بَيْنَ الْأُخْتَيْنِ إِلَّا مَا قَدَ سَلَفْ. That you
marry two sisters. It's forbidden for you to marry two sisters. The concern here is that أَوْ مَا مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُهُمْ is عام. Any woman can be, at that time, historically, potentially a slave. But here, it says that you can't marry two sisters. So you have this, what if the two sisters are, of course, this is in ancient times, slaves. So this is two texts. One says this, one says that. And if brought together, there's this opposition to the dalala. The word dalala means ما يلزم العلم به علم لشيء آخر. Something which knowledge of it shows you the knowledge of something else. That's dalala, not dalil. Dalil, as Al-Baji says, هو ما صح أن يرشد إلى المطلوب أي إلى المطلوب الخبري. Don't want to get too much into that now. In the future we can. But Al-Baji says, رحمه الله الأحكام, that dalil is what directs you to something correctly. The dalala of the dalil is ما يلزم علم به علم لشيء آخر. What makes necessary the knowledge of it, the knowledge of something else. So here we have this dalala of the first text, أو ما ملكت أيمانهم وأن تجمعوا بين الأختين إلا ما قد سلف. We try to make both of those dalalas work, is it in plural? Is it going to be ta'arud? The problem is, here it makes it halal, here it makes it haram. That's why Sayyidina Uthman ibn Affan رضي الله عنه, when he was asked, excuse me, about this issue, he said, أحلت لها آية وحرمتها آية. That one ayah makes it allowed, أو ما ملكت أيمانهم, and one ayah makes it haram. أن تجمعوا بين الأختين إلا ما قد سلف. So Sayyidina Uthman ibn Affan, the great Muslim, one of the four rightly guided leaders of the early Muslim community, he did what's called tawakkuf. He had no opinion. This is Uthman ibn Affan, رضي الله عنهم. Later on, scholars came and they did something which we'll talk about perhaps in the future. We'll get to the tanqih of Al-Qarafi. And Imam Ibn Ashur has a great footnote about this in the tanqih. That later on scholars would come and look at earlier scholars who did tawakkuf, who stopped because of this inability to do jama, and there was no naskh. They'll see, are there any foundational principles like al-qawa'id that can be invoked to settle the issue? So in this instance where al-ma malakat aymanuhum, yani any slave woman can be potentially, you know, someone that at that time someone had a physical relationship with. وَأَن تَجْمَعُوا بَيْنَ الْأُخْتَيْنِ إِلَّا مَا قَدَ سَلَفْ. Two sisters are not allowed, but here's two sisters aren't allowed. But here, any woman that is a slave, you can have these relationships with. Again, historical context being important. So Uthman ibn Affan, radiallahu anhu, is like, تَوَقَّفْ مَا أَفْتَى بِأَيْ شَيْءٍ. So scholars will come later on, and remember this, they'll look at these earlier opinions where people had tawakkuf, the mathahib in particular, and they'll see, are there any qawa'id, are there any foundational principles used that can settle this dispute? And Sheikh al-Mahali rahimahullah mentions this in his explanation of al-waraqat, which is great for beginners. You know, al-aslu fil abda' al-tahrim, right, that the default for sexual relationships is impermissibility. This is one of the few instances where you don't find that foundational principle al-aslu fil ashya ibaha, that the foundation of all things is permissible. That's kind of the default principle. But there are certain things like the property of a person al-aslu fi mulk al-tahrim. Like I can't just go and take someone's stuff because the asl is not ibaha. The asl is tahrim unless there's an aqad. And usually this principle about the asl being forbidden falls under areas where there's like contract law. Because the contract does what? What does the scholar say about marriage? Istihlal al-mu'ashara al-zawjiyya. Right? It makes permissible. That means it wasn't forbidden. It was forbidden before. It wasn't allowed. So that means the principle, if you read the books of fiqh now, I'm helping you with something. Like Khalil, he does this a lot in his Mukhtasar. So does Sheikh Ahmad Dardir in the Aqrab, Aqrab Masalik, yani. The word istihlal al-farj, right? Making sexual relations permissible. That means it was, its asl wasn't permissibility, its asl was forbidden. So pay attention to this. So the scholars now, they went and looked, for example, at the opinion of Sayyidina Uthman ibn Affan, radiallahu anhu. He said, oh, he didn't say anything. He doesn't have a fatwa because he says, أَحَلَّتْ لَهَا آيَةٌ وَحَرَمَتَ آيَةٌ. So then they took a foundational axiom, الأصل في الأبداع التحريم, that the default for sexual relations is not permissibility, is forbiddance. And that also, not to get too off track, is why people who say that Muslim women can marry non-Muslim men because the foundation of all things is permissible, it shows you that they're sloppy in their training, sloppy in their application, or perhaps, this happens to everybody, they forgot or they've made a mistake or they missed. The axiom actually is the opposite. That the foundation of sexual relations and living as husband and wife is forbidden unless there's an aqad. So here they solve this crisis when they say that, yes, Baba Tawakkuf, however, there is an axiom that says the foundation of sexual relations is forbidden, so therefore these women fall under, those two sisters fall under the designation of it not being allowed to have two slave women, again, historical context here, who are sisters, based on the qa'idah. And here you see beautifully how the qawa'id work, how they work as foundations when we run into interpretive difficulty for clarity. For clarity. Then he says, فَإِنْ عُلِمَ التَّارِيخُ فَيُنْسَخْ الْمُتَقَدَّمُ بِالْمُتَأَخِرُ. And if the history is known as tariq, which one happened first, which one happened second, then there's nasakh. We already talked about what nasakh means. We'll stop here. Barakallahu feekum. Next time we'll pick up the discussion on what if there are two khas texts. We already did now what if there are two am texts. We did al-jama, al-tawakuf, and nasakh. Barakallahu feekum. Wa sallallahu wa sallam ala Sayyidina Muhammad. And also we did tarjih with the qa'idah. Right, that example, that foundation where they said, look, we're going to choose one over the other, even though Sayyidina Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu was silent. That's called tarjih. So those four things we modeled for you. Al-jam' al-tarjih al-tawakuf al-naskh wa sallallahu wa sallam ala Sayyidina Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.